Well, good evening to each of you, and especially those that are able to be watching online. I hope you'll be patient with me. It's different to speak this way, but praying that the Lord will bring the Word of God to you, and that as we study together in the Scriptures, the Lord would give to us a special blessing from His Word. The topic for my message this evening is simply a tried and triumphant faith. A tried and triumphant faith. And we're going to go to a place that you might not expect a minister to go, and that would be to the book of Habakkuk. So turn in your Bible to the book of Habakkuk. For you kids that are watching at home, it's Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So that'll help you as you're looking and as you're listening. And I want to say something to you boys and girls at home who are listening to the message. As you're with your parents sitting maybe on the couch or on their lap, you may have learned a song when you were little. I think I learned this song, and I'm sure I sang it with my children. The song goes like this. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. I think that's right. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, and the streams are His handiwork too. I won't do the hand motions tonight, but they're hand motions with it. And then you go back to the chorus, right? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. And this song, kids, is a song of what we might call faith. Faith meaning trusting in God. And I want to say to you children that you can trust in God tonight and you can be confident that He will take care of you, that He's your good and loving Heavenly Father. He's the Good Shepherd and He takes good care of His sheep and He'll take good care of you. And you might tonight, before you go to bed, as you close your eyes, close them and sing in your heart, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to me, because He's given you His Son, the Lord Jesus. Simply trusting in God, however, for you parents now, and others that are listening, is not just for children. When we who are older, when there are times of intense fear or trial, we must be believers who seriously and even strenuously and even intensely seek the Lord in His Word in special times of prayer and in special times of trusting in Him. And this is what we're going to see in the book of Habakkuk. You see, Habakkuk is wrestling with what he sees, and he's also wrestling with what he knows he is to believe. And I think that's true for us as the people of God tonight. You see, it's a war between sight and it's a war between faith. And for Habakkuk, probably, as at times it may have been for some of us, sight is winning out. And sometimes I think in our own spiritual lives, we say in our hearts, how long, O Lord? And maybe for some of us, that is the case this evening. We're reading the headlines and we're wondering, and in our hearts we're saying, how long? And so I hope that we can stop for just a little while and simply remind ourselves about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Habakkuk was written thousands of years ago, maybe 2,000 plus years ago, but I believe it's amazingly relevant as it speaks to us about faith, as it speaks to us about prayer, and as it speaks to us about God's faithfulness. And so for this message, I'm going to give you four principles taken out of this book. And I've really worked hard to get them to the place where you could remember them and write them down and be something that throughout the week you could keep. And I hope I did okay with that, but you'll see that in just a moment. But I want us more than anything else to be anchored in God and in a God that we know who loves us and who takes care of us. Now, real quickly, before we get into the principles, I want to just say a few comments about an overview of the book of Habakkuk, so that if you do go back to the book, back to Habakkuk, you can think about it and you'll be able to get some more truth out of it. First of all, commentators think that it's probably written at the very end of King Josiah's life. And then after that, the people of Israel, you might remember, or the people of Judah are going to go into captivity. And you remember Daniel and Ezekiel and some of the others that go into captivity. Jeremiah doesn't go into captivity. The message of the book is simply a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. And that's one of the, I think, encouragements that you'll see. Sometimes the outline of the book is that there's Habakkuk's complaint or his argument before God, and then God gives an answer, and then Habakkuk gives another complaint, and then God gives an answer, and then it's summarized by a prayer. But I'll give you just these quick points as far as an overview. Point number one, the strangeness of God's ways. Point number two, the prophet's perplexity, which I think really relates, doesn't it? The waiting for God's answer. The just shall live by faith. How to pray and how to rejoice in tribulation. It's an overview of the book. As I begin, let me give you this important quote. Faith means taking the bare word of God and acting upon it, because it is the word of God. It means believing what God says simply and solely because he has said it. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. Okay, let's get into the outline this evening. Here we go. And hopefully you've got your Bibles to Habakkuk. Point number one, feel the pain. Point number one, feel the pain. Trials are painful and intense. Trials are painful and intense. Habakkuk teaches us how personal struggles and tensions of the Christian life are hard. Pastor Michael read for us verses 1 through 4, and we can sense and we can feel the emotional and personal pain and struggle that Habakkuk is facing as he is speaking his heart to God in prayer. In fact, if you look at verse 2, you see Habakkuk saying that phrase that I'm sure you've prayed as a Christian, and I know I've prayed as a Christian, and I've already mentioned it, which is simply, how long? For Habakkuk, it was that the wicked Babylonians would come and bring judgment on Israel. And for him, he was having a very difficult time understanding that. But the people of the Old Testament especially, they also had this same struggle within their hearts. Look over just at maybe one or two references of this phrase, how long. Look over at Psalm 13, verse 1, and you can see it in many times throughout the Psalms. I've only picked out a couple of them. But Psalm 13, verse 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul? Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. Or maybe if you go over to Psalm 89, just a couple of examples for you of this spirit of anxiety and intensity before God. Psalm 89, verse 46, how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? This desire, this intense struggle that's within the heart. Maybe it's come to your mind, that phrase. It's also found in the book of the Revelation, where the martyred saints under the altar say the same thing. Look over at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. As they are before the Lord, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge your people? So these describe those violent, those intense spiritual struggles and tensions that we often have in our Christian walk. that the people of God have had over generation after generation. And so for us, even in these days, we simply enter in, we simply put a foot into the steps of those of the past who have walked by faith and who have been tried in their faith and yet have in those tensions looked up towards God and said to Him, Lord, how long? They have expressed their heart. Instead of turning away from the Lord or away from Him, they have turned toward Him in their cries during those times. Maybe for some of you tonight, there are places in which you are saying before the Lord, how long? Maybe it's a specific unanswered prayer that's been for many years that continues to go unanswered. And you say to God, how long? And it's an intense struggle to you personally. Maybe there are enemies that you have, especially those spiritual enemies. Maybe it can be where God's people have not been what you have thought that they should have been. Maybe there's been discouragement. Maybe you've, at least in your own mind, have thought that God is not acting according to His word or according to His promise. Or maybe, as we're seeming right now, maybe it's the fear of the unknown. Whatever it is, it's those spiritual struggles. It's that heart that's not at rest, that's calling out to God. But you see, what Habakkuk is doing is what we must do as the Lord's people. And that is, we take those longings and we take those tensions and we take that pain and we point it up to the Lord our God. And for Habakkuk, what he was doing is he was seeking not to stew over everything that was going around him, but to take it to God in prayer. He was following what we see in Philippians 4 verse 6, by being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, making requests to God. Or maybe in 1 Peter 5 verse 6, where we cast our care upon Him, for He cares for you. One of the things that I think you'll appreciate if you were to study the book of Habakkuk is that he doesn't use flowery language so much in his prayers, but he's a man who's struggling to understand the Lord's will for his life and for the people to whom he's called to minister. And he realizes even that God is going to bring judgment. And so he's calling out to the Lord with what is on his heart. So the first point tonight, feel the pain. Intense struggle is real. We can't ignore it. We can't deny it. We can't pretend like it isn't there. We have to acknowledge that pain and struggle are part of our Christian life. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 14 or Acts 13, where it says, through much tribulation we will enter the kingdom of God. So again, we take our step with the people of God in the past. But we're not left there. And Habakkuk does not leave us there as well. And so we come to point number two. Tried to make it short. Even you kids at home, you can remember this. Lean on God in Christ. Lean on God in Christ. Trials should cause us to lean on the character and the goodness of God. Let me say that again, because that's important, isn't it? Trials should cause us to lean on the character and on the goodness of God. And so in this book of Habakkuk, he's going to emphasize a number of key statements and promises about the character and goodness of God. And listen, in times of fear, or in times of intense struggle and pressure and even pain, what we need to do is look back and think on the character of our God and our Heavenly Father. And that's something that we can do right now. We can remind ourselves that our God has not changed. Let's try to do that for just a few minutes here in the book of Habakkuk. So, here we go. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 12. And let me find it, get back to it as well here. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12. Listen to what he says. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O God, have established them for reproof. This means that all of his attributes are everlasting. They are the way they are, they will always be. God's character, God's person is everlasting. Everlasting in his love. Everlasting in his mercy. Everlasting in his justice. Everlasting in his holiness, and so on, as we could think of all the character of God. God is everlasting. He's the one in whom is our rock. He's the one who was the rock for Habakkuk. And so Habakkuk leaned harder on God. And he knew that God, as it were, was strong enough to lean on. It's like when you hold, one of your children will lean on you when they're little. They're not going to knock you over. They just have a little bit of weight. And so we can lean harder on God, and we don't have to worry that he's going to fall over or something like that. It means his decrees are everlasting, and especially the covenant that he has made to save his people. God's eternal covenant is everlasting. It will not change. And so we might think of the words of 1 Timothy 1:18. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Or maybe throughout this week you can meditate on Revelation 1 and verse 17. When John the Apostle saw the Lord, it says in verse 17 that he fell as though he were dead. But it says in verse 17 of Revelation 1 that the Lord, he laid his right hand on John. And what did he tell him? How did he encourage him? Well, he said, Jesus said that he was not to fear. That he, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, that he was the first and he was the last. That he was the living one. That he was the one who died. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades, of death and of Hades. When we are in times of trial or seeking the Lord, we need this truth that he is everlasting. He has control and he has ordered and he has the bigger picture for our lives. But let's keep going. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, what could this verse mean? How might this have encouraged Habakkuk, and how might this encourage us? Could this mean that the gospel will go to many places? Could this be the new heavens and the new earth? Surely it means that all things are working out for the good of the church, and for the glory of God. Look also at Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. We're just trying to encourage ourselves. We're just trying to point ourselves to the character and nature of our God. So that in times of fear or in times of distress, we turn away from all the media and from all the information, and we remind and we look at the God of all things. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. These verses sound somewhat like what you might find in Job chapter 38 if you were to read that passage. But this text is telling us that God's glory is so great that it covers the heavens. Now, we may not see it tonight. We may not be touching it tonight, but his glory is really that great. It's covering the heavens. It's filling the earth. The earth is full of his praise. His brightness, the brightness of our God is like the light. And to me, it sounds very much like some of those passages that we see in the book of the Revelation about the Lord. But what these verses do, if you really start to concentrate on them, and maybe you start to do some journaling about them, is they start to expose your small thoughts of God. in that we've narrowed him down. We've boxed him in to a small kind of God. But he's not small at all. He's very great. He's everlasting. His glory is over the whole earth and all in heaven. And surely that can comfort our fears tonight. Like we were saying in that little song, our God is so big. He is so strong. And he is so mighty. He's everlasting. He is full of brightness and glory and wonder. You see, Habakkuk must see, just like we must see, that God has a bigger plan and purpose than what we can see. And maybe that's one of the big points of our Christian life, that he's constantly showing us that it's about his glory, and it's about his church, and it's about his cause. And for us, we know when we hear reports from the news or other things that come our way, or emails or texts, or discouragement comes, and I'm not immune to it by any means. I'm just as weak or more weak. And we say in our hearts, how can God take that end? Well, what we do is we preach to ourselves. We don't listen to ourselves, but we preach to ourselves about the Lord our God, that he has a much bigger plan, that all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We look away from ourselves and our thinking and our own personal analysis to God as the great and everlasting eternal Lord of all things. And we remind ourselves, as Romans 8:38 says, that I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That our relationship is based on what God has done in and for us in eternity, towards us through Jesus Christ, and in us by the Holy Spirit. We're in him. And so as we remind ourselves in him, I pray that we will be encouraged. A poem that's meant a lot to me, that I believe Pastor Bill Hughes quoted many years ago, is simply this little phrase, or these few little phrases. Say not, my soul, can God relieve thy care? Omnipotence has servants everywhere. His method is sublime, his heart supremely kind. God never is before his time, nor never is behind. Well, point number three, pray. So what are we to do? Well, we're to feel the pain, we're to lean on God in Christ, and then we're to pray. Now, I know I've already talked about prayer, and I thought about putting the those kind of points together a little bit, but I'm pulling this one out for us. Pray. And here you'll see why in just a moment. And hopefully you're back in Habakkuk 2, the early verses. Pray. Trials should cause us to pray. Our president has asked us to pray. The executive committee of the SBC has asked to pray. I know we as the people of God were already feeling that we need to come before the Lord in prayer. But trials should cause us to pray. And Habakkuk points us to intense dealing with God when we're confused or we're in times of trial or change. You see, again, Habakkuk didn't understand and he couldn't figure out what God meant or what God was doing. And that's often the way it is in our walk with God, in his direction, in the way he's dealing with us. And sometimes it can seem that he's almost dealing harshly with us. And we wonder what's going on. And so for Habakkuk here, much like what happened with Moses, Habakkuk has a period, has a time, and he records it for us in chapter 2, when it was like he was on holy ground with God. And he and God had dealings, or much like Jacob had that night with the angel. And so if you really look at verses 1 through 4, you see that Habakkuk's in this intense moment, and so he decides that he and God are going to have some special time of prayer and fellowship and where there'll be a complaining and giving his heart. And so he's going to take the drastic measures. That's what I'm trying to say. He's going to take some drastic measures to really get close to the Lord. And maybe tonight, those of you that are home, maybe that's a period or a place where you are. You're in a period, you're in a time where you know you and the Lord, you need to have some intense dealings together. Well, see what Habakkuk does here. First of all, he says he will stand watch. Verse 1, I will take my stand at the watchpost. Now don't let that statement get away from you. He's saying that he's going to wait. And he's going to look and he's going to keep on seeking. He's going to be determined. In other words, not to be funny or something, but he's not going to take just 2 minutes of prayer here. He's going to be determined to get before the Lord and to seek him. Furthermore, he believes that he needs to be in a special place. And so notice what he says. I'll take my stand at my watch post and station myself on the tower and look and see what he'll say to me. And so he says, I'm going to go up to this rampart, or I'm going to go up to this high tower, and I'm just going to wait, and I'm going to talk with God, and I'm going to really wait for God to talk to me. I'm going to be quiet before the Lord. I know as a child of God tonight, that can be very hard when you're in prayer, to get your heart quiet. Anxieties come, fears come, text messages come, other things come. And you're trying to be quiet with God. So he's up on the rampart. A rampart is simply a defensive wall or castle of a castle or of a walled city. It has a broad top and a walkway. Typically, it has a stone parapet, and you can walk on it. And so that's where Habakkuk's going to be. I think what Habakkuk was doing is he was trying to find a place where there were few distractions, an undistracted place, a quiet place. I remember hearing about some of the old Scottish pastors, that they would go out into the quarry, or they would go out up on a hill, or out in the mountain, or out in a field, just somewhere where it was quiet. Remember how the Lord Jesus did that too? He would go out into a quiet place. In other words, he decided he wasn't going to check his Facebook. Just teasing here. He wasn't going to look at his phone or check the TV or anything like that. He was going to get somewhere where it would just be he and God, and he could deal with God. He could set his affections, like Colossians 3:3 says, he could set his affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. And furthermore, the other thing Habakkuk knows is that he really believes that if he goes to this rampart, if he goes to this place, that God will speak to him. But that he's going to have to wait. When I was reading my devotions, I think it's either the 40s to the 50s or the 50s to the 60s, where constantly, again and again, the psalmist is saying, I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm waiting for the Lord in whom I hope. My hope is in the Lord in whom I wait. It's not the idea of, you know, hurry up, Lord. But the idea is I'm going to spend that special time with him to see what he will say to me. You know how it is. God's not like our computer. You know, we click and then it comes up. Right? God is God. And we must wait for him. We must let him speak to us. And in his own pace, in his own way, through his word. And so that's what the prophet is going to do. He's going to wait on the Lord. He's going to see what the Lord is going to say about the complaint, about all these intense desires that are within his heart. And then finally, the Lord is going to give an answer to him. He's going to give him an answer that then he will have to more than likely proclaim to the people that are around him. And he's going to need to write it out, because he's going to write out this vision. And he wrote it out for us. He wrote out that deal, those dealings for us. And we're thankful that he did that too. So he's using this as a picture for what's going on in his soul and in his life at this time. For Habakkuk, the answers were not going to come the way he wanted them to come either. His people would be taken into judgment. They would be taken into captivity, just like God said. God was actually, what I'm trying to say is, God was actually going to say to Habakkuk, no. No. I'm going to do something different than what you are praying for and what you are wanting. Okay, so we've felt the pain. We've felt the pain. We have leaning on God in Christ. We've thought about prayer. Now let's come to rejoice. Now you say, rejoice? Where'd you get that? Where's the rejoicing? This is, all I've known is that the Christian life has a lot of trials, has a lot of hardships, we have to deal, etc. Well, look at the last verses of Habakkuk as we come to a close. Rejoice. Trials should cause us to trust, to rejoice in God. And let me just read the verses again, and then we'll talk about them. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on my high places. This book began, as I was telling you, with a man who is discouraged, who is bringing his complaint before God. And now he ends on this high note of joy, joy in God. And it's very evident, as we'll try to look at for just a few minutes, that though there are struggles and though things haven't changed, yet he is choosing to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 17 seems to represent destruction that was coming. Destruction that would come on the land. Difficulty that would come on the land. This was an agrarian society. If you look at the Hebrew of these verses, the negative word comes first, and then the object. No blossom, fig tree. No fruit on vines. No olive of fields. No yielding fields. You see, no, 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 no. Nothing, zero. I read somewhere too that a thought here could be that what Habakkuk is saying in his time as an Old Covenant believer, what if I don't have an offering to bring to the temple? What if I don't have any of the normal things? He's saying, yet I still can rejoice and praise the Lord my God, the God of my salvation. Notice how Habakkuk says, the God of my salvation, that he is rejoicing in. For Habakkuk, he was looking forward. He was looking ahead to that coming Messiah that would come. But brethren and those that are listening tonight, we have it so much better than Habakkuk. Because we don't look forward to the Messiah coming. We don't look forward in shadows and types. We don't look to offerings and grain offerings and sheep and goats that they looked at and they offered up in faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about that. But instead, we look back. We look back on the death and the resurrection, the life and the future coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God of salvation. And in this time of the virus, we have something to offer to our neighbors and to our friends and to those that are at work. We don't know everything. We're not experts. But we do know the one who does. And we do know that there is salvation from sin in Jesus Christ. And we have salvation, not by any works that we have done, but according to His righteousness which He gave us in Christ Jesus. If you're a child of God tonight, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know that? Do you remind yourself of that? Your eternal life is secure because of God being everlasting, because of what Christ has done on the cross. We have a salvation. We have eternal life. We have a God who helps us in our trials. He is with us in our trials. And the Scriptures have demonstrated that all throughout the Old Testament. The Lord who was with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and the one who was with Daniel in the lion's den. We have the Lord Jesus who calmed the storm for the disciples. You can be encouraged tonight. You can rejoice in God. You can rejoice in your salvation. That's what Habakkuk was doing. In the midst of everything that he didn't understand, in the midst of what might happen, he came to a place, praise God, he came to a place where he said, I rejoice in the God of my salvation. That's one thing that stays the same, is the God of his salvation. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you watching this service and the Lord has been working in your heart to show you that you are empty and that you're not ready for eternity? That you don't know what's going to happen if you get sick? You don't know what's going to happen if something comes, these things come into your life? You don't know, but you just feel the pressure in your life. You feel your sinfulness. You feel you're experiencing your unworthiness. And you're saying in your heart, what can I do? Where can I go? Well, it's the words of Jesus to you that say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. There is someone who's greater in whom you can trust, in whom you can put everything on Him, that you can cast your care upon Him. Everything about you, your whole life, and that emptiness that you have been experiencing. And you can cry out to Him, and He can come by His Spirit. He comes by His Spirit, and He takes out your old heart, and He puts in a new heart that loves and honors and blesses Him, and that has hope. And that has eternal life, so that you'll live forever and forever in His presence. That's good news. And you can have that good news if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. Are you a believer tonight and you're discouraged? You're pressed down by everything? Rejoice in the Lord and take joy in Him. God is your strength. You see, there's... We just can't dismiss it. There's special strength in God. That's what Habakkuk's saying. There's supplies in Him. There are resources in Him. You see, what he was saying is, if I don't have the fig tree and I don't have the things from the vines and I don't have the olive tree and I don't have all of that, but I have God, then I can still have my feet, verse 19, like the deer's, and I can tread on the high places. I hesitate. I may not be saying this well, but it's like victory's not, he can't be a victorious Christian or a happy Christian or a child of God. Does that make sense? He's got to have olives and he's got to have this food. That's just not true. What he's saying is, if I don't have that, but I'm rejoicing in God and I'm relying in God and I'm hoping in God, then I can just keep living for God. I can keep climbing higher and doing whatever God has called me to do in faith with a confidence that I can my feet can be like the deer's. I can tread on the high places till such a time as He takes me and I'm with Him forever and ever. Right? Those that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They run and aren't weary. They walk and they do not faint. I guess what I'm trying to say is we can live in joy and we can have faith in our God. I close by saying this. How do you face fear? I've been thinking about that this week. How do you face fear? Well, it's not going to be through resignation. Well, I'll do it. And it's not courage, a false courage. Well, you know, I'm strong. No. And it's not escapism. God is dismissing some of the escapism that we've been trying to do. No, instead, it's a confidence in God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that to Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he said in Ephesians with the spiritual armor as well. Well, maybe you are in a situation like Habakkuk and you're really searching and you're really waiting on the Lord. You can be confident that as you wait upon Him, the answer will come, that He will supply His Spirit to embolden you to do the work or to suffer whatever He calls you to suffer. So may the Lord teach us tonight to feel the pain, to lean on God in Christ, to pray, and to rejoice. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful tonight for Your holy word. We ask that You would work it into our hearts, and most of all, that we would have a confidence, a strong confidence in You, our God, that You would renew that within us. Be with any who are watching online who don't have that confidence, who don't have any rock upon which to stand, that You would impart to them, even in these moments, faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.